Good morning. I think first service wins today. We had just a few more first service than we have second service today. Well, welcome to the Lord's house. We, of course, encourage you to fill out the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first time visiting us this morning, we'd like to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Let us know this is your first time visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Men of the church are reminded of the January gathering of men meeting, which will be this Thursday, the 17th, at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. If you would, please fill out the flyer in your bulletin and place it in the offering plate to give us an RSVP so we can get a good count for the meal preparations. And please pick up your 2018 giving statements on a table back in the foyer. This will help us with the significant cost of postage. Your faithful contributions each year are genuinely appreciated. And please read through the bulletin announcement page to learn about other events taking place in the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church in the upcoming weeks and months. We have several other announcements this morning. First is Phil would like to share a word with us.
Good morning to all the brave souls who went out in the weather to be here today. Question for you. How many of you are on Facebook? Whole lot of you? Yeah, good. How many of you knew that there was a place you could like called Berry Christian Church? Okay. So we have that. How many of you knew that every Friday, Pastor Dennis puts a little preview of coming attractions about the Sunday morning service on the Berry account? How many of you see that? Not so many. Well, I'm first off here to tell you that he does do that every week, and it's a very nice little preview of our Sunday morning sermon. What I would like to ask of you, because every retailer in the world knows that the best advertisement is personal advertisement. One friend recommending something to somebody else. I went to Price Chopper and they have steak on sale. I bought a new car at Gladstone Hyundai and boy, were they good to me. I really like so-and-so store. And if our friends recommend things, then we're more likely to do it. On Facebook, when Pastor Dennis puts those out on Friday, not only is it a nice idea for you to look at those, but hit share. So all of your friends can see that not only that you go to church and where you go to church, but that you recommend it as well. And it occurred to me that if all of our friends would hit share, we have 151 people right now following Berry Christian Church. Pastor Dennis's post from last Friday, 3 people shared. If you share that, all of your friends are going to see it. And if we do that, it's the best free advertising in the world. And I'm sure that each of you here has hundreds of friends. And if you hit that, then literally thousands of people in your family and in the Northland will know about us. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. We also have a minute for mission in a segment also known as Who is Bob Today?
I'm not Mahomes, but I am Bob, so you're Mahomes? Okay. Good morning. This is the 13th year since we've started the Bean Cook-Off in honor of Stanley Otto. For those of you who never got to meet Stanley, it was his dream to go to the homeless and cook for them. Since we have filled our plaque with winners, on February 3rd, we want to continue and to honor him with the Stanley Otto Bean Fellowship Dinner. If you don't care for beans and want to bring a stew or a soup of any kind, that would be great. It's always about the fellowship with friends. All offerings go directly to our food pantry. Cornbread, drinks, cake, brownies, and ice cream for dessert will be provided. For the month of February, we are collecting baby diapers and baby wipes for the North Star Baby Grace Program in Liberty. Their mission is to share God's love and grace by offering materials, emotional and spiritual support, and development for families and their children. We would like to thank everyone for all your continuing love and support for those in need. Thank you. God bless.
Please rise for the call to worship. Have reverence for the Lord your God and obey all his laws. Then all will go well with you, and you will become a mighty nation and live in that rich and fertile land, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, has promised. Let us sing hymn number 17, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing God's wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. The earth with its store of wonders untold, almighty your power as founded of old, established it fast by a changeless decree, and round it has cast like a mantle the sea. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come as one people, united in the body of Christ, despite the division that exists in the world around us. We come from diverse backgrounds. We have different complexions and come from different countries. We may hold different political beliefs, yet we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when our own actions create division rather than unity. Merciful God, as we worship together this morning, may we be mindful of our responsibilities as followers of Christ, to love the Lord our God and to love others just as we love ourselves, as Jesus taught us to do. And by following his teachings, we hope to be an example for others to follow. May your Holy Spirit be present with us during our worship now and follow us after we depart from here. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness, all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Did you play in the snow yesterday? Oh, man. That's all right. There's still plenty of it out there. Awesome. Awesome. There is a lot. Yes, there is. Well, I have to tell you, I thought about this. Most kids like the snow. They like to play in it. They like it when it snows enough to actually do something with it. Most adults, they kind of go, oh, man, I'm going to have to shovel snow. It's going to be wet. It's going to be, the roads are going to be slick. It's going to be icy. We have so many reasons, blah, 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 why we don't like the snow. We get very grouchy when there's a lot of snow. I thought, this is kind of like when we get up in the mornings. Every morning, we can decide what kind of mood we're going to be in. We can't tell what other people are going to do. We can't control the weather. Can't control how Miss Barbara's going to act or Mr. Phil or Pastor Dennis. They got to control themselves. But how are we going to be in the morning when we get up? Are we going to be like adults when it snows and we're going to be all gray and grouchy and grumbly? Do you want to look like that? That's not very pretty, is it? No. It's kind of stormy and nasty and it got wet. Imagine that. Or are you going to be like when kids see the snow they get to play in? They're like this. They're all like, yeah, snow. I get to play in it. I get to make forts. I get to throw snowballs at my brother or my sister. Yeah. Build snowmen, snow angels. Yeah. I think us adults need to look at snow a little differently. You are so helpful. Did you know every single snowflake out there is totally different? There's no two snowflakes that are alike. That is pretty amazing. That's a pretty amazing God we have that does that. Do you know how many snowflakes are in just an average-sized snowball? Well, there's not quite that many. There's like 200,000 snowflakes in just a little snowball. So how many snowflakes do you think are out there now? Too many to count, huh? So whenever we feel like we're going to be a little grouchy or something, let's try to remember to be more like this. Let's not be grouchy and grumpy and grumbly. You know what? It only makes you feel worse. Because everybody else ignores you when you're grouchy. If you're grumbly, we ignore you. And then you can be happy and chatty like this little guy. Can we bow our heads for a prayer, please? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for the snow that you have given us, for the needed moisture that it will bring. Thank you for these beautiful children and this day. Please help us to remember that there's always something wonderful about each and every day if we just choose to look at it that way. Help us to always take your love and pass it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer this morning, please remember Nathan Carrington's father. His name is Joe Carrington. He is at the University Hospital in Columbia, Missouri, having some concerns with fluid on his right lung. We want to lift up Grace Kimmerling as she is at the McCrite Plaza Care Center over in Briarcliff. We want to lift up Michelle Jacobo. She was to have started the chemotherapy this past week, but that was delayed because she ended up with another type of infection. That is clearing up, and so the plan is to start again this Wednesday. So we hope that goes well for her. You know, with the van being a rear-wheel drive vehicle, Jim thought it was probably wiser not to get that van out on the road today, so that's why the children are not here today. So we just lift them all up. Jerry, we continue to lift up your cousin Ben as he is recovering and needing to have a continuation of a recovery of a kidney function here after treatment for pneumonia. So, Jerry, we keep him in our prayers every day. Also, as we go down the list, we lift up Sheila Killian. We continue to remember John and Dorinda Hoke. We remember Betty Barnes and Perla Mora's nieces, and Alan and Carolyn Pipp's granddaughter, Emily. All these people continue to be in our prayers as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship this morning, we give you thanks. We pray that the words of praise that we offer and the meditations of our hearts will be an honorable expression of our love for you. On this Lord's Day, as we focus our attention on Joseph and Mary's dutiful presentation of Jesus before your presence at the temple, we who are often tempted and easily strayed by the social norms around us are in awe of the profound measure of devotion and obedience that Joseph and Mary committed to your endeavors. We are in awe at the obedience of Mary and Joseph as they so willingly followed your guidance. We remember that the angel Gabriel visited Mary through an amazing visionary experience, and Mary replied, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." And Joseph, after being visited by an angel of the Lord, woke up, married Mary, and devoted his life to her welfare as she gave birth to your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As each of us begin the trek of this new year set before us, we pray, O God, that we too may offer a measure of true commitment. May it be through genuine devotion that we strive to love one another, for as 1 John chapter 4 reminds us, you showed your love to us by sending your Son into the world so that we might have life through him. With renewed commitment to your purposes, we offer you thanksgiving as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places. The first one is Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 9. And you may find that in your pew Bible on pages 162 and 163. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that you may go, so it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Our second reading is from Luke, the second chapter, verses 22 through 24. And you may find that in your pew Bible on pages 935 and 936. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is part of the story told by the people of God. Blessed be the Lord.
Thank you.
When snow is dry and fluffy, it takes about 15 inches to make an inch of rainwater. When snow is dense, especially as dense as sleet, it takes only 2 inches to make an inch of rain. Density matters greatly. When it comes to our faith journey, some folks are like light, dry, fluffy snow, easily tossed about by the whims and wishes of the influential breezes of the day's worldly influences. On the other hand, a person devoted to regular prayer, immersion in the scripture, and committed to service is truly dense in the faith and of great benefit to others. As we share at the Lord's table this morning, we are reminded that Christ devoted his all for the forgiveness of our sin. His testimony was dense, devoted in prayer, immersion in the scripture, and packed with an ongoing ministry of healing and comfort for many. We prepare our hearts by singing our communion hymn as we ask ourselves whether our faith journey is light and fluffy and tossed about by the whims of the day, or dense and useful for the kingdom. Our communion hymn this morning, it's hymn number 384, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Here at Thy Table, Lord.
Here at Thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel Thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin. As for the banquet hall we enter in, come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with Thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of Thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, this Lord's Day, and we thank you for this table that has been set before us. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, may we remember the tremendous sacrifice that was made for us to be with you in heaven. Please remember all our people who aren't with us today as well, but we are thankful for those that could be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Well, so the question of the day is, since last Friday evening, how many times have you found yourself outside scooping up your walkways and driveways? You know, during the early service, several people smiled, and I knew why they were smiling. That's because I know they live in areas where somebody else does that for them. So does that fit some of you? Now, I know that for Carrie and myself, the count is up to three, because I was out there Friday night scooping away. You know, it's amazing how well you can see in the dark after it snowed because of all the ambient light. So Carrie was gone. I was bound determined to get that driveway scooped up before she drove on it, because you know what it's like after somebody's run some tires over across some of that snow. So that was number one. Then, of course, early Saturday morning, I got out, started scooping away, and I think that woke up Carrie. Because as I was out front, I noticed she got into the back, and she was working on the back area. We got it all finished up, and I said, all right, now it's time to go get some breakfast. Then, of course, later in the day, as it kept going, a third time. Well, you know, as I've gotten older, and as the snow keeps going, I've just learned that there's just some benefit to doing something in increments, right? Because that's a whole lot better than trying to shovel all of it all at one time. Right? Increments help. You know, that's the way our giving is, too. When we think of the needs that prevail day to day, year to year, we think, oh my gosh, those needs are so great, there's no way we can help out with that to amount to much of anything. And so sometimes we don't do anything. But you know, if we faithfully give to the kingdom's work week after week, week after week, month after month, you know, it adds up by the end of the year, doesn't it? And then we know, wow, hey, you know, we really are making a difference. Increments works not only with shoveling snow, but with the Lord's work as well. Doug leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful winter day and all the things that you give us. As we gather our tithes and offerings, may they be used for your glory in this church and our community. In this we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as snowfalls go, I think this one that we've had this weekend is one of the exceptional ones. Anybody agree with me? You know, it was just about the right temperature. The moisture content is just right. This is great snowball snow. This is great snowman making and fort making snow. It really is. It's wonderful. And yet the temperature isn't so, you know, bitter cold that when you're out there, you're just, you know, like you're
It's so freezing so bad, you just got to go inside. No, this is a good snow. You know, when we lived up in Nebraska, we didn't have snowfall, we had snow blow. And oh, I mean, you'd be out there shoveling, and you'd try to go like that, it just goes whoosh. Ah, you know, that sting all over your face, you know. That was tough. But this was a good snow. We were over at the sheriff's house last night for our Sunday school get together, and Brian and the kids made a really cool fort. It stood about yay tall. I thought, wow, I'm ready to be 3 foot tall again. I mean, it was wonderful size. So I hope you've enjoyed the weather. You know, if nothing else, just pause and take a look. You know, because the way this kind of delicate stuff comes down, the way it just settles on things, it's beautiful. I mean, this is the kind of snow they ought to be making Christmas cards out of, right? You know, really, wonderful, wonderful snow. I think it's the best we've had since we came here 3.5 years ago, for sure. And if that doesn't have a smile on your face, surely you ought to have a smile on your face, because what? The Chiefs won. Right? Where are those smiles? Yeah, after 25 years of missing on the playoffs, 25 years, by golly, they're saying it's a new team, right? Isn't that what we're hearing? Yeah, that's worth celebrating. Besides that, we get to have another game here this next weekend. But remember, that's, I'm understanding, Sunday night. That means you can be here for worship on Sunday, right? Even if it is cold or snowy, y'all can show up, right? May we bow our heads for prayer. Merciful God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house, to experience the wonders of your fellowship with us. As we step back for just a moment and admire the lives of Joseph and Mary, we are in awe at their devotion to you and pray that we may strive to declare an equal measure of devotion in our spiritual connection with you. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. In our society today, there often seems to be a reluctance to simply do what is required. We see this time and time again, you know, to drive the speed limit or to break and stop at the yellow light because that's really safer rather than to blow through it, you know, and it ends up being orange or red before you get through. Or how about to pay one's taxes or to wait one's turn in line? To tell the truth, or simply to be honest to one's spouse, to one's neighbor, or to one's boss. We live in this so-called modern world in what is called relativism. If you haven't heard that phrase, it actually means that you as an individual get to determine for yourself what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable, or what is unacceptable. Rules, regulations, laws, and guiding principles take a backseat to whatever feels good in the immediate moment, whatever seems profitable to you, or what seems pleasurable. As that is the context in which many people live, I've often wondered what Mary and Joseph would feel like if they had walked into our society today. In the earthly family of the Christ child, we find a great measure of unquestionable devotion through which they committed themselves to God's plan for the salvation of humanity. Yes, we know they had a significant advantage in the fact that the angel Gabriel visited Mary. And we know that Joseph experienced a dream where, it doesn't say Gabriel, but it says an angel of the Lord visited Joseph in a dream. Yeah, those kind of exceptional experiences are pretty wondrous, but, you know, in our day and age, I wonder how many folks would have just said, oh, that's a figment of my imagination. I'm not following along, you know. But the religious devotion of the earthly parents of our Lord Jesus stand mightily juxtaposed against the trends of our day in which so many people quickly reject religious tradition in favor of whatever happens to be one's personal whim or pleasure. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the lives of people who were filled with great joy because they experienced the presence of the Christ child. Last 2 weeks, who we've been talking about? Simeon and Anna. What was distinguished about them as compared to the others we looked at is that they experienced the Christ child about 40 days after his birth, not in more of that immediate time frame. But today, I want to take a step back from all of those people, and I want to explore the reason why Mary and Joseph were at the temple to begin with. And that takes us to the verses 22 and 24 of John's Gospel, the second chapter. Actually, no, it's Luke's Gospel. I wrote that wrong. It's Luke's. See, it says John right there, but I know in my head that's wrong. You know, it's what happens when you write things late at night. Luke, it's Luke's Gospel. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification as the law of Moses commanded. And so they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. And they also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons as required by the law of the Lord. Now, when you read that text, it's actually kind of jumbled. The author gives you a little scribble of something and a little bit about something else, and then it comes back and backs up to something else. You have to understand that for the Jewish people of Jesus' day, or even into that first and second century, as they would have heard these words, they would have understood what all was being talked about. You know, it's kind of like, talking about the playback of a play for a football game. You know what they're talking about, but they're kind of jumble things up, you know. That's what's happening in this text. There were actually three different things that were required of every good Jewish family with the birth of a child, especially with the birth of the firstborn son. Okay, what was the first requirement? Number one, when the child was 8 days old, the child would be named. What was Jesus' name? Jesus. What does Jesus mean in Hebrew? Anybody know? What does it actually mean?
God
saving. Saving or to rescue. Actually, more almost like a verbal form. It's actually to be in the process of rescuing. What a wonderful name for God's Son. The second ceremony came about when the child was 40 days old. Go to the temple, perform what was called the redemption of the firstborn. Again, verse 22, the time came, again, 40 days, and they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, it goes on to say, as it is written. Well, where's it written? In the Deuteronomic Code, again, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible, would have been very well known by the people of Jesus' day. Exodus chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, dedicate all the firstborn males to me, for every firstborn male Israelite and every firstborn male animal belongs to me, God is saying. Then Numbers chapter 18, verse 16, children shall be bought back at the age of 1 month for the fixed price of 5 shekels according to the official standard. What's a shekel worth? Well, in today's money, it'd be worth about 10 bucks. So about 50 shekels then being what? Or five shekels being what? $50. Now, for most folks, 50 bucks, it won't break the bank, thank goodness. Some people are going to miss 50 bucks, no question about it. But as a standard that most folks could come up with, you know, to pay the month's something bill, it's probably there, right? But the question is, whatever these rules are that are set up in the Deuteronomic Code, the question is why? Why these guidelines? For the redemption of the firstborn. It is because it is to reinforce the idea that the child belongs to who? Especially the firstborn belongs to who? God. You see, this whole notion of offering the firstborn is repeated time and time again in the guiding principles for the Hebrew people back when they were making that journey across the wilderness and finally into the promised land. You know, as they were to produce their crops, the first grain that is harvested from the field, who does it go to? God. The first grapes that are harvested from the field, where do they go to? To God. Here we see the first newborn child is to be dedicated to God. You see? Because it's the newborn male child is the one who carries the heritage of the family, the one who gets the largest percentage of the inheritance and carries the name of the family to the next generation. So the whole notion of firstborn was a very precious perception for the people of biblical times. And yet, the idea is that in a symbolic way, you're saying, I dedicate this child to God in hopes that God will also provide what? Other children. Just like you offer up the first grain, the first fruits of the vine. Why? In giving a measure of trust that God will provide what you need for the rest of the time. Okay? That's that second ceremony, the redemption of the firstborn. Then there is a third ceremony, still done at about this 40th day if this child was a male, 80 days if the child was a woman, female. Why? I don't know. That was just the way they set it up, according to God's design, again, from the Scriptures. And the mother was to go to the temple. Again, 40 days if it was a male child, 80 days for a girl child. And a woman could go about her day-to-day household chores, and she could go about her daily business, you know, like getting water from the well, et cetera, et cetera. But she could not go to the temple and worship until this rite of purification was accomplished, either 40 or 80 days. Now, as the mother, of course, would come with the family, obviously not alone, but come with the family, as the mother would come to the temple. And it just so happened to be that because of the fact that this is the firstborn son also being dedicated before God, everything was then able to be done at 40 days, right? But as they all come to the temple, Mary, not even Joseph as the husband, but actually Mary is to make a presentation at the temple. The offering of a lamb as a burnt offering, and a pigeon as a sin offering. What we need to understand is that the cost of a lamb was pretty significant to the extent that many families would not have been able to afford the cost of that lamb. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is called the Lamb of God? Isn't it interesting to note that the animal that God chooses for the Passover meal is what? An unblemished one-year-old lamb. You see, this is a precious, precious commodity here. It's not just going over to Hy-Vee and walking on down there with your grocery cart and say, yeah, here's the lamb meat, plunk. You know, as if somehow we're just, we get it filled. No, it's far more precious than that. If a family could not afford the cost of the lamb and the pigeon, what the mother could do what would be to offer two pigeons or two doves. Why? Well, because have you ever been around a big city? Pigeons are easy to come by. You know, they just kind of come all over the place, don't they? You know, same way with doves. They're just easier to come by, cheaper. But what you have to understand is that in Jesus' time period, When you offered two doves or two pigeons, this was called the offering of the poor. What offering was it that Joseph and Mary were able to present at the temple? The offering of the poor. What that needs to remind you and me is that Jesus lived in a household of very, very modest means. Don't you know that if they could have scraped up the resource, they would have. In their profound devotion to God, they would have not just said, oh, well, you know, we'll just give the cheap offering just because that takes care of the deal. No, if they could have offered the lamb, they would have scrimped and saved every penny they could have to offer it, because that would have been the most honorable thing to do before the Lord's presence. They couldn't. They knew what it was like to live paycheck to paycheck. They wondered what it was like to get the resources for the next meal. What I find quite striking is although Jesus grew up in this kind of household, well, you know, you're just trying to make ends meet week after week, we should be in awe at the fact that Mary and Joseph did everything they could to follow the guidelines and the traditions of their faith. And we see that's the reason why this is lifted up in the Scriptures. That's why this story is told, so that we might be in awe at the honor at which Joseph and Mary were choosing to raise their son in a very humble but yet very devout and faithful family. Now, you know, when we look at these guidelines, it's so easy for us in our day and time to say, that may have counted back then, but that don't mean anything today. You know, we don't do those burnt offerings and stuff anymore. That don't count anymore. No, you're missing the point. We have to understand that they were striving to do that which they believed God was calling them to do, and to do so faithfully. Jesus said, I came into the world not to destroy the law, but what? To fulfill the law. And in addition to that, Jesus said, I have come into the world to give you a new law. What was that new law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, it's true. We don't have to follow all of these rules and regulations that were so complicated and such an intricate part of what it meant to be a good Hebrew person centuries ago. But, you know, isn't it striking how many times people say, we don't need to do that. No, we don't need to worry about that. No, that don't count anymore. We're in the modern age. We get to do what we want, however we want, with little regard to what God is requiring. But if we, like Mary and Joseph, really love God the way they did, we will be doing what we can to follow the guidelines Christ gave us. What are those guidelines? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's hymn number 610, Living for Jesus. We're going to sing all stanzas 610, please. May we stand and sing.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord, my Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. God, dismiss us with Your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each Your love possessing, triumphant, redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give in adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful to